Thank you, Brother Johnson, for the good music program. Karen, for the beautiful song. I hope you're thankful for the good music program we have here at Worth Baptist Church. I thank the Lord this morning that we have His Word. It tells me where I came from. It tells me why I'm here. And thank God it tells me where I'm going. No other book like the Bible. I realize also the Bible does something else for us in a crowd like this, and I know some specifically that are facing a difficult week next week. Hurting people facing surgery. Some may walk in and find out they don't have a job. But thank God the Word of God gives us hope and comfort. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid. Don't turn there. I'll tell you the text in a moment. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Matured a little bit. Amen. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And listen to Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm glad God's word will comfort us today, and let it do so. Then please, my text this morning, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, a verse that many of you could quote. Many of you, I trust, have claimed. And that's the text the Lord has laid upon my heart to preach this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. R.A. Torrey, the great preacher of yesteryear, said this verse is a soft pillow for a tired heart. Amen. A soft pillow for a tired heart. Read with me, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. Let's read that one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. Look first of all with me, please, at the certainty of the promise. The certainty of the promise. What's the certainty here, ladies and gentlemen? It's simply this: we know. Job 19:25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job, with all the trials and troubles, he knew something. He knew his Redeemer liveth. 1 Timothy 1:12, my life verse. I want this put on my tombstone. After I have written on there, "Honey, I told you I was sick." Paul said something. He said, "For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." I claim that verse since I've been saved. Paul knew something. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a know-so religion? Do you know that you know that you know? In this verse, the promise God gives us says we can know something. Not think about it or hope so. We can know. I'm glad we can know some things this morning from God's Word. The certainty of the promise that He's given us. Secondly, please look at the completeness of the promise. The completeness of the promise. Look at it, and we know. That means. Did you get that? How many things, class? I like to call you class because I'm a teacher, but just pretend you're my class. That how many things? All things. What do we know? We know all things that complete. Listen, it's the sweet things. I appreciate you playing that fiddle. If you're going to play in Texas, you've got to have a fiddle in the band. What do you call that thing? A viola. Now I've got my culture. Beautiful job, Andrew. Someday you can teach me how to pick that thing. Or bow it, or whatever you do with it. Remember what he played? About counting the blessings. Sweet things. Those little babies that are born to you. Then when you get Peggy and mine, when you get my age, you got those little grandkids. A promotion at job. Just think of all the sweet things you can think of. God said all things. Stop some time when you're going through a rough day. Think of the sweet things that God has done for us. I don't know about you. I'm just glad I could get up this morning. My age, I'm just glad to be anywhere. Amen. I get up. My name is not an obituary. Praise the Lord. I can see breath on the mirror. Praise the Lord. I can breathe air and the sun's up. How about the sweet things? He said, all things. Oh, but wait a minute. If it's all things, there are some tough things. There are sorrowful things. Some of you sorrow today. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. But remember, it's all things. We're going to see the blessing in just a moment. Jeremiah 24:5. Israel was captive. Listen to what God says to them. Their hearts are broken. You ever have a broken heart? And you cry so much you can't cry anymore? Jeremiah 24:5, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans, listen, for their good. God can take the sorrowful things and do something with it for the good. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You remember Joseph went through some sorrowful things. Hated by his brothers. Thrown into a pit. That's a sorrowful thing, I would think. Sold as a slave. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Put in prison and forgotten about. Sorrowful things. Oh, but wait a minute. Somebody said this is Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. It comes down to chapter 50 and verse 20 when he reveals himself to his brothers. And listen to what he says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But listen, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much alive. Sorrowful things, and yet God can take sorrowful things. Oh, listen, contrasted to Jacob. Genesis 42:36. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. Listen, God can take the sorrowful things, ladies and gentlemen, if we realize that he's there and he'll take it. Sweet things and sorrowful things. Oh, listen, satanic things. Satanic things. We're talking about all things. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hold your place at Romans, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7. Satanic things. By the way, if you don't have a confrontation with Satan, that probably means you're walking with him. Just thought I'd throw that in free. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Listen to Paul. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of who? Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul, that greatest Christian that ever lived, no doubt. Prayed three times. Lord, this is a mess. Take it away. Oh, but I'm telling you, the Lord in all things, he can take satanic things and he can turn it around. Look here. Verse 9, Lord gives him an answer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God can take a satanic thing and teach us a lesson, and what? We can be sure that all things are going to work out. Amen. I'm reminded of the old lady, Christian young old lady that just lived from hand to mouth, so to speak. She lived in a little apartment. Her landlord was an atheist, made fun of her all the time. She's always praising the Lord, and he'd hear her pray. One day he heard her pray for groceries. She had no food. She asked God, said, God, bring me some groceries. I need some. Well, the atheist landlord overheard her. He said, I'm going to fix her once and for all. I'm going to go to the store and buy a couple bags of groceries. I'm going to slip them in into her kitchen. And I'm going to be in there, and when I hear her come in, and sure enough, he did. He bought a couple bags of groceries, took them in, put their hid back in the room. She came in. Man, there they were, two bags of groceries. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You answered my prayer. About that time, that atheist landlord stepped out and said, oh, you silly Christian. I get so tired of you Christians praising the Lord and thanking him for everything you did. Oh, she said, sir, you're the silly one. I asked God to bring me groceries, and he used the devil to bring it. Satanic things. Amen? Oh, listen. All things. How about sinful things? Peter. By the way, we give Peter a bad rap. If you read the scripture closely, Peter wasn't the only disciple that denied him. But you remember the tragic thing, and God told him three times, you'll deny me three times for the cock crows. That was a sinful thing. By the way, it's a sinful thing to deny Christ, isn't it? But you know what God did? Old Peter wound up preaching on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Thousands were saved. Took a sinful thing. Peter got right. Listen, you read 1 and 2 Peter. Doctrinal, full of truth. Never went to a university. I told my class, he sat at the feet of Jesus Bible Institute. And they took note that he'd been with Jesus. He'd take a sinful thing, all things. Oh, take the smallest things. Genesis 3, first promise of Christ. He'll bruise the head of the serpent. What has Satan tried to do all down through the corridors of time? He just tried to kill off the Jew. And Pharaoh one day said, I want all the children killed. And God heard, took a little thing, little baby Moses, put him out. And in all his workings, we know the rest of the story. And the Israel's, the Jews, survived. Oh, listen, the certainty of it, we know. We know that it's all things. And thirdly, very quickly, the chemistry of the promise. Look at the next word. And we know that all things, read it to me, what's it say? Work together. Work together. The sweet things, the satanic things, the sinful things, the small things. God can take it all together and work it together. Wes, I don't know why a transmission fell on you, son. Probably get your attention. Chase, I don't know why you had a wreck on a motorcycle. I think I know why. Wasn't a good thing, but it's got you guys in church and trying to train for the Lord. I just thought I'd throw that in free. I didn't have that in my message. Works together. God can take all these things, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, you younger families, you won't understand the thing I'm saying. You're going to have to get a little bit gray on your hair. You gray heads can tell me about all this when you look back and see how God worked it all together. Amen. Sorrowful things and sinful things and satanic things. You see, God, who has created everything. I'm not a chemist. I remember having to take chemistry class. Oh, my. But you know, God, who created everything, and I don't know how many elements we got in my day. There's only 10. I think there's 105 now. God can take sodium and he can take chlorine. Chlorine's poisonous. He can put them together and make common table salt. Why? Because he's God and he can put it all together. He can take hydrogen and he can take oxygen, both things very flammable, and he can put them together and he can make water that puts out the fire. Work together. Listen, if God can do that with creation, can he do that with our problems and our heartaches and our headaches and our situations? Sure can. Sure can. Now, I did something real sneaky this morning. Some of you don't know my wife, but when you see the reddest face in the choir, you'll know who she is. One of my favorite desserts is pound cake. I like pound cake and a little bit of, hang on, Damon, I'm going to give you equal time, Bluebell ice cream or Dreyer's ice cream. If I don't use Dreyer's, he'll put the lights out on me. I like to take a good old piece of pound cake and flop a big old thing of ice cream on there, non-carb, Stephanie. Peggy watches me at home. She watches me here. So I got thinking about a pound cake. Now, after 44 years of marriage, we have our territories, right? I am not allowed in the kitchen except to eat. Every once in a while, I used to try to help her do the dishes. 12 broken plates later, I was dismissed of my duty. So I don't enter the kitchen unless I'm called. Any of you men there with me? But I snucked. Is that a word, Miss Barb? I sneak. Whatever. I went in there unannounced this morning, and I got to my wife's favorite cookbook, the Betty Crocker one. By the way, you younger generation women, your favorite cookbook's the Yellow Pages. You need to learn how to cook. And I got the ingredients for pound cake. I love the finished product, amen? But I got looking. We're talking about working things together, the good things and the bad things. And I got to looking at that thing. 2 1/4 cups sifted cake flour. I don't like to eat flour. 1 1/4 teaspoon salt. I can handle that till the doctor tells me I eat too much salt. 1 teaspoon baking powder. Did you ever eat baking powder? 2/3 cup shortening. Try that on. 1 1/4 cup sugar. Oh, there's a sweet thing. Amen. Finally got to it. 1 teaspoon grated lemon peel. Yeah, maybe. 1 tablespoon lemon juice. 2/3 cup milk. 3 eggs. Ever eat a raw egg? Woo. And confectioner's sugar. I can handle one more sweet thing there. And the ingredients, the direction says sift together all of that and put it in an oven, 300 degrees. For a particular amount of time. And the finished product is good. Why? Because we used the sweet things and we used the tough things and it came out good. All things work together. Amen. What? For good. For our good, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Honey, I'll put this back. Some of you help me remember to do that, please. If you would, please. Now, please notice quickly the cause of the promise. Ephesians 1:11-12. Listen to it, please. Ephesians 1:11-12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, realize please, God is the one who is working all these things. And sometimes I think we forget that when we go through a trouble and trials and headaches and heartaches and sorrow. I think we forget as Christians that God is working all of this and we ought to let him do it and we ought to praise God we're doing it. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was often given to despondency and depression. By the way, preachers go through that. Did you know that? I don't, because I'm not a preacher. You know, why do preachers go through all that stuff? Well, first of all, they're around a lot of sinners. Second of all, they're around the deathbed. Third of all, they went and try to disciple Christians who leave. No wonder preachers could get depressed. Amen. He had fits of that despondency and depression. Charles Spurgeon, read about him. The Prince of Preachers had the same thing. One day he got so depressed, he went into his study. That's his little area. And would not come out even for his wife. Take that. Well, you know, women, God gives us women, fellas. Didn't give us a pickup truck or a rifle, unfortunately. He gives us women to keep it straight. Hi, honey, I love you. And she had finally had it with it. Amen. You ladies ever finally just have it with us? Do I have an amen? Or an amen? So you know what she did? She got a black dress out of her closet, put it on like she was going to a funeral. She walked into his study. He looked up, saw her in her black dress. He said, "Who died?" She said, "God died." "Catherine," he said, "that's blasphemy." She said, "Yeah, it's blasphemy for you to act like you do, acting like God's died." Huh? Are you getting the message? We often act like God's dead, but yet, ladies and gentlemen, He is working. He is working all these things. And we know that all things, good things and bad things, work together, notice please, for good. It's all for our good and His good. You who are old enough can look back over tragedy and you wonder why God put you through that. He put you through it for a reason, and you can look back and see that God was working. Listen, we see it this far, ladies and gentlemen, our little finite minds, but God, who is working and doing it, sees it from beginning to end, and He has a reason, and it's for our good. Uh-oh. One other little thing here. There's a condition. Did you read it? Let's read it. "And we know that all things work together for good." Boy, I like that so far. "To whom?" "To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, you're going to have to appropriate this on your own. I can't read your heart. I can't read your mind. If you love God. Somebody said if I could see your checkbook and your calendar, I probably could tell whether you love God. I'll tell you how much some of you love God. Now I'm going to really preach and get meddling. Some of you love Him so much, you won't be here tonight. Especially if you think I'm preaching, but I ain't going to tell you He's preaching. That's not good English, but I'm going to do it. Because I've done such a good job this morning, you don't need to come back tonight. And then some of you won't be here Wednesday night. And have mercy, go out on visitation. Watch that. I'm meddling now, aren't I? I'll be done in a minute, and you can go back to your comfort cozy. Do you love God? This verse says there's a condition to those that love God, and listen, and to those that are called. It's for saved people. It's for those that have heard the call and have received Christ. If you're here this morning and are not saved, can I tell you, you can't appropriate this. But who can appropriate it? Those that love God. Those that are called. Those are the conditions, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you meet the condition of it. Because, you know, I'm no theologian, you know that, but I would think the opposite of this would be true. It would work together for bad. If you don't love God and you're not called. And lastly, notice please, the consequence of the promise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, the foreknowledge of God. I'm not a theologian, but I believe it and understand it. He also did predestinate. It doesn't have anything to do with this, going to heaven or going to hell. What is He predestinating? Look at it. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why do all things work together for good? What's the purpose? God wants it for His good and our good. And what are we to do and to prove it? That we are conformed to His image. You go through a trial and that, you either come out better or bitter. You either get closer to the Lord or you don't get closer to the Lord. You're either going to have the image of Christ or you're not. There's a verse in Malachi. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Part of the verse says, He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Amen. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. That verse was preached by a man in a Bible study. One of the ladies who heard that got very curious about that verse. Didn't quite understand it all. That week, the woman called a silversmith, made an appointment to watch him at his work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched, the silversmith held the piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, as to burn away all the impurities. Amen. You know what Jesus is doing to us in this verse? He's trying to chip away everything that doesn't look Christ-like. Amen. He's trying to get rid of our impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that says, He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time. The man answered that, yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. Listen, God knows how much we can take. And he's not going to hold us in the flame any longer than he knows we can stand it. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? Get this. He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. Conformed to his image. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's been 18 years. My wife and I got a call. I always say the Lord was punishing us Buckeyes for going to the Texas State Fair. Our daughter Rebecca had been in a wreck. I think Dr. Barber was the first one there, Mr. Barber. God spared us some of that all day long with all the tubes and all the things. She wound up at Harris Hospital. By the way, helicopter rides are expensive. Then had to be taken to Parkland where the physician was that had to operate on her. And I was young then, a little younger than I am now. I never forget coming back from the hospital one day. Two of my other children were sitting in the back seat. And they said, Dad, you're serving the Lord. You're in church. You're doing... Why did God allow this to happen? I really didn't have an answer that day, but I got one today. Because all things work together for good. Amen. They said she couldn't have children. Now, I can take you right down here if the nursery's still in one piece and show you little Beau, who'll be 9 months old Wednesday. All things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Difficult to give an invitation, but let me ask some questions. Whatever you're going through, have you stopped and realized that God's in control? Maybe you've been fussing at the Lord and asking the question, why me, Lord, why me? Maybe you need to come and say, I'm just going to come to the altar and Lord, thank and let you realize that I realize you're behind all of it and you're going to work it to my good and your good. Maybe you have a sinful thing or a satanic thing or a small thing or whatever. Maybe you need to come and give that to the Lord. Maybe you just need to come and praise him for this precious verse a soft pillow for a tired heart that he's given us this morning. Maybe you're facing something next week that you know you cannot do it yourself. And you're going to ask God's help. And I'm sure you've been praying, but publicly ask God's help for it. Maybe you slipped in this morning unsaved. You say, "Brother, I like that verse. I want to claim that verse. I want to love God." By the way, you'll love him because he first loved you. Amen. And I want to give my life. I want to be saved. The Lord speaks to you about it as we sing a hymn of the invitation. You come as God leads you this morning. Mm-hmm.